Hey there, everybody. Welcome back to the Cave of Solitude. I'm your host, Eric Anthony. And this week, it's officially our 20th episode. Thank you for all the loyal listeners who have been with us for the first 20 episodes so far. And for a while, if you've been listening to this podcast from the beginning, you would have heard many of our episodes where we shout out a local comic book shop that I go to every week. I'm a Wednesday warrior there. It's Cyber City Comics. And I've been trying for a while to coordinate a date where I can kind of do a showcase episode on my favorite comic book shop. And it worked out perfectly that our 20th episode would coincide with their 20th year of being retailers. So I got a chance to pop by at the Cyber City Comics this week, and I was able to talk to Daryl, the owner there, and we had a really good conversation talking a little bit about the history of how he got into comic books and the business side of it, which is always intriguing to me because I am a collector, but there's so much that goes on behind the scenes that we don't really get to see. And just something that I didn't get to mention in the episode with Daryl, I've been going to his shop since I was 14 years old. And at the time, it was a pretty pivotal point in my life, but it was awesome to have a comic book shop just around the corner of my house. And I still remember the first issue that I bought at his store. It was the Superman issue. It was a glow-in-the-dark cover where he went into the blue suit. Little did I know that that thing would be absolutely worthless at the time, but it's something that it's an issue I still own, and I'll always remember that was the first book that I bought at Cyber City Comics way back in the day. So the store has a special place for me growing up, being a comic book fan, and it was a really good treat to be able to sit and talk with Daryl about the shop and 20 years of being in business. So I hope you guys all enjoy the episode. And again, thank you for listening for 20 episodes thus far. So we're going to get right into the interview. It's me, Eric Anthony, talking with Daryl Spears at Cyber City Comics. So this week, we are on location at Cyber City Comics, located at, what's the address?
1025A. Yes.
Steeles Avenue West in North York, and we are with the founder, owner, the man himself, Daryl Spears. I see your last name right?
Spears. I answer to both, though. It's fine.
Okay. Awesome. So this is exciting. I wanted to do this for a while. When we started the podcast, I had in my mind that every show usually associates themselves with a comic shop, a local comic shop, and I'm like, if I do it, I want Cyber City all over the website. I want to promote it. And now it's kind of serendipitous, because we're going to do our 20th episode, and it's going to be
our 20-year anniversary.
The 20-year anniversary. Might just have to get a little bit closer so they can hear your voice. 20-year anniversary. So that's big, because there's been a couple shops along this street that you've outlasted. They're
gone. A lot of shops have started and gone in that time period.
Yeah, and that's when I moved here as a kid. I remember there was one across the street from your original location, and it seemed like, oh, look at all these comic shops. And now you're the only beacon on this street it feels good, right?
Yeah, I've earned my place.
So give us a history of your comic book origin. Tell us how you got into the culture, your earliest memories of superheroes and comic books.
Getting comics would have been garage sales. I would have, I think, buying like dollar books at garage sales and taking them home. And that, I think I got a bunch of comics from my cousin.
Batman,
Superman stuff. That's 5, 6.
Do you remember your first issue?
The first issue I properly bought would have been Punisher and Silver Surfer number 1. I bought like 2. One to read and one to keep nice. Because that's what the guy at the comic store told me to do.
What store was it? Do you remember?
Gray Region. Who now are Galaxy Comics and Square One. They used to be outside of Square One.
So this was because there was a Gray Region, I remember, in the city, right?
There was 2. They had 6 at one point. They were quite bawling, and then kind of the comic slump hit, and they went down to 2, and now they're down to 1.
Okay. So what were your favorite characters?
I was a Marvel boy.
Yeah? Yeah. Marvel Zombie?
Yeah. Daredevil, X-Men. Those are my big 2. I read Batman. Everyone likes Batman. And then growing up, when I got into comics properly, when I was older again, because I got out for a while, and when I got back, heavily did Batman because Batman broke his back, Superman because he died, carried on with the X-Men still. And then at the height of that, I had gotten a job part-time at a flea market store on weekends helping them out.
Mm-hmm.
And they decided they wanted to shut it down. And I thought it'd be a cool idea on weekends to run a comic shop while in high school. So I gathered some money together. They had someone else interested in me. We formed a partnership, me and this guy. And he lasted 6 months, and then he got out. I ran for another year, graduated high school, and then thought it'd be a cool idea to open up full-time. And got a loan from the government and opened up full-time because I thought it would be cool. Not because I thought it was a good business idea, because I thought it would be cool.
And so how old are you when you started?
Because
you're not
20.
Yeah, because you're not old.
No.
By any means.
I will be 40 and my store will be 20, so it's kind of old. But nonetheless, yeah, I started when I was 20.
That's pretty ballsy, though.
It was. Kudos to my parents for helping me along the way.
Yeah, because it was 95 when the first store opened, or when you were at the flea market?
The flea market actually was like 92, 93.
So the store officially opened 95.
But that, yeah. I changed the name. It was Cyber City Comics and Collectibles in the flea market, and it's a very long name to write out.
Yeah, yeah.
So we dropped it to Cyber City Comics, add the X.
Yeah.
And then add 95, July.
And 8th. This was at the original location?
1881 Steeles Avenue West.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And then we jumped here.
So what was the climate like back then to be selling comics? Because that was at the height. Was that the height of the speculator market in 95, or was it already past?
It was the image hype. So it was still, wasn't as good. Like back pre-90s, it was amazing. People would sell, like everything would sell. They'd put out, like Spider-Man was coming out twice a week and selling a million copies an issue. Books back then were $1.50, $1.65. So people would sell tons of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And they kind of hit a slump, and then when Image came out, it reinvigorated everything. And there was a lot of speculation, because a lot of Image stuff was doing really, really well.
And those were all the books that were set. The creators were the guys selling from Marvel,
yeah,
right?
They all laughed. Everyone was pre-internet, so everyone thought it was the end of the world. Oh my god, Marvel lost all their best artists, they're done. There's always art, you know?
Yeah.
And Image at the start had really crappy stories, but really good art. But that was the big thing then. What else? The Crash was kind of before that, and it was like Valiant, and they've had many kind of bumps in comics. There's the black and white big hype when Ninja Turtles was big in the 80s.
Yeah.
And that crashed. But eventually comics kind of, you know, there was a lot of gimmicks happened. A lot of gimmicks. Hologram covers,
yeah.
Shiny covers, embossed. They've kind of been bringing that back slowly, and people like it, which is dumb. Pay an extra $2 for like a shiny cover. That really hurt the industry. And if you ever read, there's a really good Marvel book out that I have no idea what it's called, but look it up. It's with the history of Marvels in the 80s.
Yeah.
And you find out a lot of Marvel, and currently now DC, I hear, is all run by marketers. They were like, this is what sells.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's do it. Nothing to do with good story or this or that. It's like, hey, we can sell this many copies if you throw a shiny cover on a book.
Or variant covers.
Yeah, and that just, you know, hurts it.
Yeah, I find that the DC now feels like what Marvel was in the 90s.
Yeah.
It feels very much like that.
Marvel still, you don't see it much, but Marvel has their own cheesy variant technique going down now. Marvel has this policy of, say I want a new variant for a comic, all right?
Yeah.
Normally it would be like 1 every 10, 1 every 15, 1 every 20, you'll qualify to order a variant. So it's incentive that I was going to order, you know, 60 copies, maybe I'll order 75 to get that 1 in 25, one more copy. Marvel now has a policy where you must exceed a certain number. So they'll be like, I'm ordering Secret Wars number one, and then I have to exceed my orders on Secret Wars number one by 150% over Original Sin number one. But Original Sin was already a big series, maybe I ordered 100 copies on. So now I have to order 150% more than 100 copies to qualify to get variants for Secret Wars. And the next big series that comes along, they'll be like, you know, Secret Wars Super Edition 2.
Yeah.
They'll say, hey, order 150% more than Secret Wars number 1. So they're always upping the ante. We have to order more and more and more to qualify. And there's no way stores, other than American stores, can order, you know, 500 copies of a book.
So that's what I wanted to ask you. When you have to go through that kind of stuff of, like in the 90s, the speculator market, and everybody was ready to buy Image books, or there was those special covers. How are you able to decide, especially when you're young?
Guessing.
It was just pure guessing.
I was terrible back in the day.
Yeah?
Terrible. Back in the day, now I'm cleaning up my warehouse.
Yeah.
I can see books I've ordered back in the day
yeah.
where I have like 40 copies extra.
Yeah.
I ordered way too many books. And you always think when you buy a book, oh, it's going to be worth money. So, hey, if I have 30 copies, I'll have no big deal. But nah, that stuff's worth anything. Box loads of mistakes. Nothing's returnable. So anyone who doesn't know the industry, everything you order, unless it's a special promotion, like New 52, the first 6 months, fully returnable.
Yeah, that was their
But they take a 20% surcharge. So you lost a little bit of money, but not a lot of money.
Right.
Whereas now, everything I order, I'm stuck with. So Marvel's Secret Wars story, I had to order like 30 new titles. DC in June has another 24 new titles coming out. I have to guess. Bizarro, I have no idea how I'm going to sell in Bizarro. I'll try 50 copies.
Yeah.
The last 2 months of DC, or last month and month coming up, of all conversions, I had to guess on all that.
Does that drive you crazy?
Yes, it's horrible. It's very stressful.
And do you find that as much as these are events that... Because all the people who come to your shop, like myself, we're collectors, and we always feel like I was at the shop when this was on sale and I could have bought this copy of something that ended up being worth...
You could buy 1,000 copies and that one, Walking Dead 1, who would have thought that little zombie book would be worth like, you know, 3,000 to 5,000, whatever it's worth now.
It's just disappointing because you feel like the people who run the comic companies now, you think anyways, like you said, DC has marketing people there. But the guys who are the writers and the guys who... They were comic book fans themselves, so you would almost feel like, let's give them quality because they'll buy quality and quality will maintain a value, as opposed to you have to buy this book and in order to enjoy it, you got to buy the Supergirl book that's horrible. It's almost like they don't have any concern for...
Well, the crossover is always there. Crossover sometimes can work well where a guy reading Superman then is forced to buy Supergirl because it's part two of a story. Maybe they like Supergirl. Maybe like, hey, this is actually really good.
Yeah.
As a store, it's annoying. Because if I sell 100 copies of Superman, but Supergirl I sell 30, what do I order? Are all 100 people buying Superman going to buy Supergirl? Probably not. Exactly. But I'm going to sell more than 30.
So what would, if you had your say, if you could talk to DC or Marvel, what would you say for them to change up as far as how they...
Marvel, cut out the number of Avengers books they have. Cut back your... Like, put out good books. When you put out, like... My shelves hold, 84 titles I can hold, and they've been shipping 100, 110 titles a week. It's a lot of books.
Yeah.
It's a lot of books, and Marvel and DC will purposely flood the market on certain weeks, where it's been known that DC has a big book coming out, so Marvel will flood it with more titles than normal to overpower the shelf. So when you look, it's all Marvel. And you don't need 7 Avenger books or 5 Batman books. Why not just have one really good one?
Yeah, because eventually you get to the ones. Exactly. You get to that 5th Batman book that you feel you have to buy, and it's...
And comics in general have an issue that because they don't end, you know, you're a Superman fan. You know, what have they done? What can they possibly do with Superman now? It's actually... Once in a blue moon, they'll come with a story. You're like, oh, wow, that was really good.
Yeah.
But it's really tough for Superman. You've been writing Superman for 60 years. An average of 2 to 4 titles a month. You're going to run out of stories. You're just going to run out of stuff to possibly do.
Yeah, exactly.
At some point, I'll call it out. At some point, you'll get married again to Lois. They'll do that whole wedding issue again because that's going to be big money. And the one topic they haven't dealt with is having a kid.
True. Didn't they do that something like that in Convergence where they did like alternate
reality? They probably done that stuff. I mean, reality. But then they'll do what Spider-Man did and then reverse it all because ages them. If you have a kid growing up, you know, Fantastic Four has the slowest aging children in all of comics.
It's like a soap opera. It's like soap operas on publishing.
But soap operas, like, you know, the kid goes away for a week to camp and he comes back like 10 years older.
Yeah, it's true.
I watched a year of soaps, or a month, a summer of soap operas.
Yeah, I did that too one summer. So really, you're saying in the beginning, all of that, wading through all of the stuff that's coming out in the speculator time, it was just guessing and...
For me, orders is guessing. Now, like, I now have a POS system that keeps track of stuff, but still a lot of it's guessing. Mm-hmm. I have to think, like, hey, like, what do I have coming out this week? This is my invoice up here. So for new titles... like Convergence. For example, with Convergence, I have a general number with a DC or Marvel miniseries of an average where I sell. Where I know a Marvel book that I'll sell 120 copies. So an average of the Marvel or big DC new title, I know to order around 130 to 150 copies. That'll be a safe number. Certain times it goes under. All books usually have a what's the number? Almost a 50% drop in sales sometimes from number one to number six in certain titles. Not miniseries necessarily, but Geoff Johns was on an awesome run of Green Lantern back in the day, pre-52.
Yeah.
Number one, I sold 150 copies. Mm. Number two dropped to 120. By issue six, I was selling 75 copies a month, which is really, really good. That's still a 50% drop in sales in the course of 6 months.
Yeah.
So every new book, it takes you 6 months to adjust your order. So you're on tap for being stuck with 6 months worth of issues before you actually get your numbers. Unless you're selling perfect. Like, you order 100, you sell 100. Keep your numbers the same. But if you sell, order 100 and you sell like 90, you've already ordered issue 2 and 3. And even then, when you're ordering issue 4, you're looking at numbers of number 1.
Right.
Number 1 always sells very well. So it takes 6 months
to adjust your orders. So you've got to be the real speculator of guessing.
You can say no as a consumer that you don't want to buy the book.
Right.
But I have to have the book out there. As, like, some stores, like, I guess I have a lot of books. That's because I want to have, like, hey, you got good products. But a lot of stores just order exactly what they need. If I wanted to make, like tight money, I'd have really tight orders. You know, 40 copies in, 40 copies sold, pure profit. Mm. But you have very bare shelves.
Right. And then people walk in and automatically see, like, this guy's got nothing.
Yeah.
Wow, it's interesting. So outlasting these shops that were across the street, after all of these years, what do you think separated you? Because if
One of those guys moved. I like to think he went under, but no, he just changed his name and moved.
Okay. Which location was that?
That was the Duffer and Steels guy.
Okay.
The other dude went under. And that guy was kind of not a nice person, the one that was in Center Point.
The other one as well in that area, half of that store is gone too now.
Yeah, well, that guy had three stores he couldn't handle, so yeah. We won't name names, but
so what makes your shop?
It's building family. Even right now, the whole dollar and exchange rate and different stores each doing their own kind of exchange rate and little deal. Yep. I try to be very fair, where you build a family. You don't go with gimmicks. You don't go with, like, you know, trying to steal customers away. You know, this is what I offer. And I've learned now, like, the early years, you got to, like, shuck and jive and, like, try to get new people. And now that I have a good base, you build your family. And then you have a good base to work on. Mm-hmm. You just keep those guys happy. That's all they want. Any monkey can open a comic store.
Yeah.
Any guy can open up a comic store across the street, ordering comics. But it comes down to, we can all get the same product.
Yeah.
We can all have the same prices.
Yeah.
It then comes down to who's behind the counter. That's a problem. I can open up a Cyber City Comics in Ottawa.
Right.
And someone else is running it, and it won't do as well. Not that it's all me. I have good employees. But a lot of my clientele I've known 20 years, 15 years, 10 years. So a lot of times I'm not around, or, you know, or you don't have good clientele, like good clientele, sorry, good employees.
Yeah.
People aren't going to come. A bunch of, you know, jerks working in a comic shop, you're not going to come by that comic shop.
Yeah, no, it's true. It definitely has to do. I find, I came to your comic shop first at the original location. I was 14. And when I came back a couple years later when I was around 20, you still kind of remembered. And you know everybody's name, all your regular clients. You make sure you have all their names. The thing, you know something about them.
I people like drive from Aurora to come here.
So loyalty, yeah.
I had a guy come from Coburg. That was only once every few months, but he got out of comics. But, yeah, that's what it is. You know, there's certain things, you know. Don't be shafty. Because there's some stores that will, a book comes in, you want it, oh, I've sold out. And then next week you come in, I have it on the wall for $10.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, you said you sold out.
Yeah.
That or just, you know, I have a mum rule. Anyone that opens a business, it's the golden mum rule. Different than dad rule. But the mum rule is, never talk down to a mom. Never treat her like she's stupid. Tell me what you're carrying. Like, you know, my wife went into a Nissan dealership, and they treated her like she was some, like, ridiculous person. Like, she left in tears. Like, they just were, like, rude. Like, ugh, woman. Don't do that, you know? We're never going to buy a Nissan again because of that. But with comic stores, or any store in general dealing with moms, you piss off one mom, mom talks. And with the internet now, it's even bigger. Then 10 moms know.
Okay.
Whereas if a mother does something good and their kids are, another mother's like, oh, wow, where'd you get that cool comic your kid's reading? Oh, Cyber City. Whereas that's if I'm a nice jerk, it's going to be like,
right,
I'm not going to Cyber City. Same with girlfriends. Same rule kind of applies to girlfriends and wives. Let's say your girlfriend or wife doesn't particularly like comic books.
Yeah.
Oh, why are you buying books? You know, silly hobby. No, I want to buy them, you know, I've been going there so long. But if the owner's a jerk, the wife's going to be like, you know, you're buying comics and that guy's kind of a jerk. Why are you even going to that guy?
Yeah.
And so, yeah, you always got to be, you know, polite. And it should just be, in general, always play nice to people. But extra special with moms. And deal with children, you know. Be nice to children. Don't treat them like they're necessarily children at times. I always, you know, as a kid, I have fond memories of people not necessarily treating me as an adult. You know, if you're 12, I'm going to treat you like an adult. But treating you like, hey, what's up, little man? You know, not belittling them.
Yeah.
And then dads, don't try to, you know, see who's got the longer, you know.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
you don't exactly want to mess with dad and the alpha dog, you know?
Exactly.
They're the dad. They don't want to be showing up with their kid. Don't make them look, never make anyone look stupid. Don't ever embarrass anyone. You know, if they don't know, they don't know.
Yeah, you know? And this is one of those hobbies, I think, too, where people can get really into that snobby type of thing where, yeah, oh, you read that, or...
And it's intimidating.
Oh, yeah, no,
you know what? Is. You know, for every time a girl comes into a comic store and is all like, oh, you know, the same intimidation as some dude walking into a lingerie store looking to buy something for his girlfriend. You're like, yeah, oh, I don't know. Just be nice. You know, and they're the same thing, you know?
Yeah, it does.
They're coming to spend money. You should be happy anytime a girl comes into a comic store to buy something for their boyfriend or husband. It means, you know, they know what they like and they're making that extra step.
Yeah.
A lot of girls wouldn't give a crap. Like, why, you know?
Why are you reading kid
books? I have a guy who got married recently. His wife's like, when are you going to stop comics? I'm like, did she not know when you married, got married, that's what you like?
Yeah.
There's
way
worse hobbies to be in, dude. You could be dealing crack. You could be watching every sporting event of whatever team you like.
Yeah, that's true.
That takes up all your time. Oh, no, you read comics. It's something artistic. It's peaceful, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, you know, if you're spending his entire rent, maybe that's an issue.
Yeah.
That's but within reason...
I'm fortunate that way. My wife is completely cool with the comic collecting. She's reading them too now. So.
Yeah, man. You need that.
And she likes the store because it's well organized. Because she's gone into those shops where you put your hand into the back bin. And
yeah, it's
like
it's you got
dirty. The film and it's like the place.
I wish I had a bigger store where I could have more. Like, honestly, my dream store would have like 3 times the amount of graphic novels. I'd love to have more of a bookstore comic store than what I have now.
But the location, though, there's something special about it because it is, it has that elevated,
yeah, like,
that
high. Yeah, if I don't have money next door, that'd be ridiculous. That'd be awesome. Buy next door, double store, but yeah, that requires a big bunch of cash. But the reason I didn't move was because of location. Comic stores are those kind of stores that can survive in basements and second floors. And honestly, it keeps down useless traffic. If I was ground level, you'd have like, oh, what's this store? Let me just pop in. The people are naturally lazy. So you're so not you going like to pop stairs. In because of the stairs. Seriously, that cuts down a lot of people. You're not going to go upstairs just casually looking at a store you don't really want to go into. But ground level, you might.
Interesting. Okay. I like that. So what's your typical week like then? Because for me, I always said to my wife, if we ever had a ton of money, I'd quit working, I'd open up a comic shop. That'd be my dream job. But what? It's not
worst thing ever.
So tell us what your typical week is like.
Worst idea ever.
Yeah.
Do not let him quit his job. Well, number one, the non-returnability bit.
Okay.
All right. Number two, zero support from the industry.
Yeah.
Because stuff's not returnable, they don't really give a crap. I order based off a paragraph. That's their art, their spiel. I get one paragraph that I get to look at and determine exactly what I'm going to order.
That here. So why do you think, it boggles my mind that they don't, they're not so, more
here's a brand
friendly
new,
to the retailer.
Maybe if you go online, there's more, but do I really want to spend all my time searching online? Here you go, Omega Men.
Yeah.
I get 5 lines, 1 paragraph, and that's selling me on Omega Men number one.
All you really can go based off is maybe the artist and the writer?
That's it. I can just kind of guess. I've never heard of you these guys.
And you never know who's going to turn into Robert Kirkman.
Yeah, so... That's the thing. They don't give a crap. There's no one to call. I have no Marvel rep or DC rep. Where I'm, hey, guys, this new Secret Wars thing. I'm kind of interested, you know, what's going on. No, there's none of that.
Never give you the heads up.
No. That's with everything. I have no reps outside of my comic rep, and they're not people that, like, are going to be like, hey, you know, this is about this and this is about that, and, you know, they're not informative.
Yeah, you maybe should order a couple of these.
Whereas if you say you're selling video games, I'm pretty sure there's a Capcom rep that shows up to stores like, hey, this big launch, Square Enix reps. No, they give a crap. No, comics is zero support. Once they've sold their book, they wipe their hands, they're out, they're happy.
So what's your week like?
My week?
Yeah, your schedule.
Week now has slightly changed up, but I will start with the start of the week, let's say, for me is a Wednesday. For everyone else, it's like middle of the week. For me, it's fresh. It's brand new comics. I show up at 10:30 in the morning. I finish putting away pulls if I have to. I finish off some of my social media stuff. Store opens at noon. I'm open till 10. Hour cleanup. Maybe I get home by midnight. 1 o'clock. Thursday rolls around. In the morning, I finish up my social media if I can finish it up. Get to work around 10:30. Do whatever I got to do. Open up at noon. Work till about 9. Close up by 9:30. Get home by 10:30. Friday, my employee watches the store from 10 to 9, 12 to 9. I come in for about a half day, or like 12 to 5. I'd either do work in my warehouse, or I do work here. Every week we try to tackle something new. Let's go clean up all the trades. Let's clean up all the back issues. Let's clean up all the pop toys. Weekends, I try not to work. Monday, I don't work. It's my daddy home day, but I come into work around 8:30, and we have a point of sale system that has 4 steps I have to do. Step 1 is I price my invoice up of new product. Step 2 is I determine off my invoice what's going to stay in the computer. So on my invoice, I'll have comic shop news. Well, I don't have to do inventory on comic shop news, so I pull that out of the system. I upload that, so it pulls out all the stuff that's useless. The next step is category department maintenance, right? I determine, all right, Diamond puts toys and statues exactly the same product. So with my POS, I like to separate statues from toys. So I have to change and adjust any of those statues or toys to the proper departments. Upload that. The next page is the page I'm actually looking at right now, if you look here. And it shows you all the prices, what I've received. And on this page is where I got to change the pricing. So now that our dollar sucks, I have to change the price on every single item. So this takes me a very long time, like 3-4 hours. After pricing my invoice of going in here and manually changing everything. And then after tomorrow, so that's what I do tonight. So this sits, I don't upload the last screen yet. Mm-hmm. Tomorrow I leave my house around 9:30. I drive all the way from Pickering out to Brampton. I pick up my books, pick up my other suppliers' books, come back to the store for 1. All my employees meet me here. We unload, and we literally spend from 12 to 9 unpacking all the product, pricing it all, doing all the pulls. And then from there, once I have damages and shortages, I upload this screen, and it sets all the new product that comes out this week into the computer. So once that's kind of done, I don't have to be here. I get scanned by anyone, and it's all in the computer. But then Tuesday, I'm pretty much here. My employees leave at 9. I stay till about 2.
In the morning.
Yeah. Finish everything up, and then I go home.
And then you're back here
on 10:30 Wednesday. Yeah.
It's hectic.
Yeah, that's my weeks. I mean, like this week, for example, Friday, I worked from, when I get in here, around noon, separate free comic day on Friday. And I left around 3 in the morning. And then I got here Saturday morning for Free Comic Day around 8:45. We opened at 9:30, and I left at 8 o'clock at night.
How was Free Comic Book Day?
It's good. It's very well run. Yeah. So we had like full force of employees in, man on cash, a man at each corner of the store. We printed up sheets of all the free books, so people were in line waiting, going around the store. They could like look at what's coming out and decide ahead of time. That sped up them actually choosing their books. So it's never a lineup outside the store. Last year we had a lineup outside the store down the stairs.
Oh, you know. Boy.
And I checked. We still gave away a lot of books, so it's not like people didn't come. It's just we were very on the ball.
Do you feel like Free Comic Book Day brings in like a new reader? Or
sometimes. Yeah. Not always.
No.
We see a lot of people on Free Comic Day we never see again until next Free Comic Book Day.
Oh. You feel that good? That's a good memory.
Yeah. But there are some people, yeah, there's one guy that, you know, him and his daughter love it. And honestly, as a young kid, I really don't care as much. A young kid getting free comics, good for you.
Yeah, yeah.
Sometimes you have those adults just come by for free books, you never see them again. It's like, really? Yeah. And at least for the kids, it's kind of cool. But for the adults, like, you have a job, buy some comics. It's a neat event. Sometimes someone will pick up a book and be like, yo, this is really cool, I'm going to buy it monthly. And that's where it kind of pays off.
Do you find it generates sales too?
Yeah, we have good sales, you know, gets the word out of the store. And again, some kids reading a comic book at home, where'd you get that comic book? Oh, yeah, Cyber City.
Let's go back there, yeah.
You know, let's check out Cyber City. So that works well.
Yeah, when I was a kid going to a comic book shop, like an actual comic book shop, not the variety store, it was like going to a toy store. It was, yeah, if not better.
I love my store as a kid. Oh, it'd be so cool.
Yeah. So with all the work that you put into it, it's just a grind, sounds like. Do you still enjoy comic books?
Not as much, no.
It's just been replaced
by... Well, number one, a lot of stuff's ruined. So I already know, you know, 2 months from now, it's kind of happening in a certain way. Not that they give me that much, but some things I already know. Like, oh, well, this is guy going to die? Well, no, he's in the cover next month, so I have an idea.
Yeah.
And a lot of just the repetitiveness. 20 years of certain books, you know, Captain America has died, from what I recall, 3 times in the time I've been reading comics. Phoenix has died a couple times, you know.
So what do you enjoy to read now? Because you still, there's got to
I still do read stuff. I have more graphic novels now just because the weeklies, I don't care for X-Men as much as I used to because, you know, nothing's particularly changed in 20 years. People still hate them. Yeah, people that are dead or alive. So really, you know, when I read it, and you know, Magneto was a good guy. So he was a bad guy, then he was a good guy when I was reading it. Then he's back to a bad guy, and now I think he's a good guy again. And then, you know, Cyclops is a bad guy, and there's young Cyclops around. It's Civil War that never ends for X-Men. With no, like, kind of, you know, now I find a lot of readers when they get older get into, if you're more of a reader, because there's collecting where you, like, must buy this book because I've been buying it for 20 years, and there's I like to read. Vertigo I like because Vertigo ends. Serious, you know, that's nothing that hurts comics. I like the idea of, I don't know if you read All-Star Superman.
Yep.
I had the idea that if I were to change comics and there was a comic god, I think all books, honestly, it'd be tough to do. But if I was the comic god and could do this, come in graphic novel format.
Everything.
Almost, because then you'd force the retailers, or the retailers, the distributors, or publishers, not to put out crap.
Yeah.
Let's say it was returnable. And then you're putting out a book with 12 issues or 5 issues in one book. Kind of like how Europe does it. Japan kind of does it that way, but Japan does it like 2 formats. They put in one big book with a lot of stories and then put on a smaller book, smaller size book, but more page count, and a little manga book. So it's in a big magazine and then it goes to a little one.
Right.
But Europe, it's like you do illustrated books. You do the whole book comes out.
Right.
Occasionally done that. Like this week, Batman Earth 2 Volume 2 comes out.
Okay.
One original story, $20, bam. It's not returnable, but right now if you do the math that 100 titles a month come out, and that every book has about 2 graphic novels a year come out. Okay. So the math on that is if you took 100 titles divided by, oh, I did the math on that. 100 titles a week, right? So times 4. What are the math? It's like 12 to 15 graphic novels a week. So instead of 100 books on the shelf, I'd have 15 graphic novels every week new on the shelf. And then you just, you know, you'd be less weekly to look forward to with certain things if you're used to buying an X-Men book every week.
Right.
You'd only be buying that X-Men graphic novel if you had 4 monthly titles. You'd be buying 4 graphic novels. So every 3 months, it'd be a graphic novel. But it'd be a full-size graphic novel, start to finish. Now, to add more to this idea is the All-Star Superman example is you do it where I'm going to write a book. It's called Daryl's X-Men. It's 1 to 12. I have the option to use previous stories if I want to, or just my take on X-Men. I'm going to write an X-Men story that maybe is connected to other X-Men stuff. Maybe other X-Men writers later on can take it, but it's my 12 issues of X-Men. Which a lot of times is kind of like when Grant Morrison did X-Men. It's kind of like Grant Morrison's X-Men. They kept certain things, the whole leather look and the way the school went, and they changed a lot of stuff, but that was kind of his vibe on X-Men.
Mm-hmm.
Grant Morrison on Superman, it's his vibe on Superman. There's a 12 issues, did not tie in other Superman issues.
And it kind of took everything that people know about the character. And
you can take what you want and leave it, but a lot of times when people come on books, all the new writer, it's like, well, everything you did before me, I'm going to change. So it kind of happens anyway. So why don't I just have it where it's a 1 to 12, one book, or 2 books, let's say, come out. That so-and-so's version of this. Scott Snyder's version of Batman. And then when he's off the book, so-and-so's version of Batman. I prefer to have which is graphic novels. Because it cuts out the collectability, which kind of sucks.
Do you like the collectability aspect of it?
I used to as a kid. It's always nice knowing your stuff's worth something.
Yeah.
But,
Do you think that those days are over, like, overall? Because before, when you would collect, like, I like going back and finding those old Spider-Mans or some old X-Mens that had something really epic happen for the first time.
That keeps people in there slightly.
Yeah, because I enjoy coming to the store every week and chit-chatting and getting your new books. It's part of the experience, right?
That's why Amazon will never destroy comic stores, because it's nice to go and interact with people and get, you know.
Yeah, I think that's, like, you're already missing out on music stores.
Yep.
So this is, like, the one last
Yeah, you know, how for music? You used to go to a music store, you know, I like this, what else can you suggest to me?
Yeah.
it's kind of lost.
Yeah, unfortunately. That still exists kind of with a comic shop. That's what I like about it. Even with doing a podcast, it's not just I want to put my voice out there. It's trying to get a community, getting to know people, getting to other people's tastes, getting feedback, and having a voice, I guess you could say. But it's that community you get from it. So going back to your suggestion, and I kind of agree with you that it's even better to read these books. The way they write them nowadays, they don't write anything single issue like they used to. Before, you could read an X-Men book that was part of an overarching story, but that issue stood on its own as a story. Now it's like everything is left, like you have to read six of these.
Yeah, it's always some mega events, which I know writers hate. If you're writing your own little book and then all of a sudden they mega event your title and you gotta like do one issue of some silly crossover for the sake of a crossover.
Yeah.
And it's a lot of hype. I don't know. I like comics. I hate comics. I like reading Daredevil right now. You asked me that earlier. Yeah. I like reading Daredevil.
Well, good writer, good artist, right?
Certain ones where if he's a good artist, they'll pique my interest. I like style, necessarily, I'll call it. You have to have a particular style. So you might not be the best guy out there, but if you have your own unique style, you know. So a lot of guys back in the day was drawing Jack Kirby.
Yeah.
And then there was a point in the 80s, 90s, drawing Jim Lee. Jim Lee's the guy to copy. So a lot of guys like Travis Charest, Salvador LaRocco, Ed Benes, whatever you want to pronounce his name. They all were hardcore Jim Lee clones. You look at their early work, pure Jim Lee clones. All three of them have awesome style now. Even Ivan Reis kind of slightly was Jim Lee-ish earlier back in the day. But he's a go-to guy. And you got to figure now, when you're talking about people that were fans or into comics now, all these artists now are at the point where they were reading X-Men by Jim Lee back in the 90s, and that's what influenced them. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, their guy. Mm-hmm. Next generation will be looking at people now.
So if you had a new customer come into the store with all this movie stuff that's going on, I don't know if that ever makes a difference with
sometimes you always come in, like, you know, saw the movie, give me something, you know.
So if someone were to come in now after watching, let's say, Age of Ultron, and they said I want something to get into in Marvel, what would you recommend to them?
I do my usual. Do you want a team book? Do you not want a team book? Do you want current or do you want old? It's a lot of stuff. Have you read comics? Is there anything you've read?
What would you recommend if you said you want a good book from Marvel?
It could be anything at all.
Yeah, like because you've got your at the back shelf there.
It's Darryl's my top 30. We have upgraded to a top 100, but I haven't finished writing that up yet.
So what would you recommend from Marvel? They say, what do you like? You're the comic book, the owner of the shop. You're the expert.
Top Marvel book? Mm-hmm. Hey, look at the shop. I can't tell me how to say anything. Marvel's is really good. I feel a little older school. If you're a big X-Men fan, Age of Apocalypse. If you want something a little newer, Messiah Complex, X-Men. That was really good. It was the first X-Men I read in a long time of not reading X-Men that was actually pretty badass. Daredevil's been solid, pretty straightforward, other than a little couple of jumps here and there, for a very long time. Because you had Kevin Smith's run, then you had Bendis' run, then you had Brubaker's run, then it turned kind of crappy for a while, and then you've had some good Mark Waid runs.
Mark Waid stuff is really good. Even going back to Frank Miller, like,
as
old as it is, it's still, I don't know, I think you still get what's good about it.
But that would be my big thing. I'd probably push him on that. Ultimate Spider-Man was really, really good.
Yeah, I like that too. Okay, how about an Image book?
Oh, for Image, there's so many Image books. Image right now is like the golden child. The deal is you make your money and your name, not your money, you make your name at Marvel or DC, then you jump the Image, do creator-owned. So right now at Image, Lazarus is amazing, Saga's amazing, East of West. I mean, I work for 3 days, so
that's okay.
Bear with me, what's out there. Well, I'm talking, if I was going to give you my personal books you should have read, you know, Daryl's top 30 is kind of like that. Batman Year One, Dark Knight. I always give a disclaimer, the art kind of sucks. It's very 80s art. People aren't used to that.
You don't like the art in that?
I like the art, but not everyone likes the art. Okay. It's like I give a disclaimer for Watchmen. Don't read the newspaper clips. Don't read the book stories.
Yeah.
It's tough, man. It's intimidating.
Yeah, and you feel like you're missing something.
And there is 80s art, man. 80s art, well, it was good. There was no computer-generated coloring. I do like the old-school newsprint and that, but when you reprint it, there's something new in the comics. You're used to video games and flashy this and that. Reading old 80s comics is kind of tough. So yeah. I might not suggest old ladies books to someone who's relatively new into comics.
Okay. Makes sense. Because I sometimes, like, I'm reading some old George Perez stuff right now, going through, like, Infinite Crisis and Infinity Gauntlet, and I'll show my wife, I'm like, what do you think of this art? She's like, I can't take it. It's too busy, or it's too...
Perez draws a lot.
Yeah.
He's one of the few guys from back in the day that still has good art.
Oh, I love it.
You look at a lot of old school guys and look at their art now, and their art just turned garbagey. Like,
yeah.
I'm not going to name names. There's certain guys.
It's true. It's true.
They just aren't as good anymore. You know, sometimes your career's gone, you know? I think for writing and art in general, you have like a peak. Same with music.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone can say, oh, after that album, they're never as good. That's the problem. Like, it all depends when you peak. It sucks if you peak really early, especially in music, man. If your first or second album is amazing.
Yeah.
Every other album could be an 8 out of 10, but always be compared to your 10 out of 10.
Always be compared to your Illmatic.
Yeah. You always gotta, you know. Oh, he's had good ones later.
He does. But they always like, oh, it's not as good as that one.
Yeah. True. But if you're into hip-hop, then God's Son, that's solid.
And that's another thing I like
Stillmatic's
about...
Stillmatic's pretty good, too.
Which one?
Stillmatic.
Yeah, that was really good. That's another thing I like about the store when I come in. Everyone knows your name, and the music's always good in here.
Yeah. Now that I have a couple of my employees and kind of... putting their own musical tastes, which is kind of nice. I don't mind changing up. I listen to everything.
Yeah.
Jazz a little more, you know, yelling death metal music, but hey. But it adds to the flavor. Like, that's the story you need, you know.
It's diverse.
Jazz has the younger people. I'm old now, so they can kind of connect with jazz, have some fun. See with Jesse and Mike. And they all kind of, you know, get some interaction. And people have their favorite employees, which is good.
Yeah, no, it is definitely a diverse store, and everybody, you start to... You know who to go to ask for.
Yeah.
Hey, which Thor book do you think is good, or what's a good DC?
All like
book?
Different stuff.
Yeah, and none of them make you feel stupid about
it. No one likes feeling stupid anywhere.
Yeah, a lot of people you go is like, no, don't read that. It's not worth it. Don't waste your money.
I'll tell you, if it's not good though.
But I think
if you ask my opinion, I haven't read it. I won't lie. I'll just tell you I haven't read it. I honestly can't tell you, and I can tell you like I'll say. You know, a lot of people have read it, have liked it. I've got good feedback on it, but I won't tell them straight up that they should read it.
There was one graphic novel, Superman graphic novel, I think I bought from here, and I'm like, I wish Daryl would have told me that this sucked.
What one was it?
I think it was Hell on Earth. It was like written by Scott Lobdell or something.
You gotta watch out, yeah. Certain writers, you gotta...
Just was not impressed by it. So, what do you have for the 20th year? Would you have anything set up for it?
Nothing. We're going to do something big. We're going to do a big bash. We're going to hire an artist to do a poster sketch thingy for me. I have a buddy from high school that we met in grade 10 that's actually like doing comics now. Mm-hmm. It's kind of cool. We collected and traded comics together as kids, and now he's actually in comics. But here's the dilemma. Discussing with my wife is 25 years is coming up. And what's bigger, 25 years or 20 years? Obviously, 25 is bigger, but celebratory-wise,
yeah.
If you do a huge bash for 20, and then 25 comes along, quarter century is way bigger than 20.
Do a party for both.
So we're going to do something for 20, but not the balling thing I wanted to do.
That's okay.
Which will be for 25.
That makes sense.
We're probably just going to do a big barbecue, have a big sale. We're going to have an event. We'll do something cool.
That's cool.
But I want to do a banquet hall later. Like, I want to have a banquet hall. I'm still going to see if my buddy can do the art for me.
Mm-hmm.
But 25, I'd rather, if I'm going to put money out.
Yeah, that makes sense. That
for
makes
our,
sense.
Our 10-year anniversary, we did a banquet hall. We had, I was going to say escorts. We had hostess girls. We had jits tables. We had a poker tournament. We had a magic show. It was a 4-course meal with open bar. I think 150 people showed up. $30 tickets.
That's not bad.
So I want to do something like that. I want to do a big bash. So 25, I feel, yeah, that one I can kind of like really, you know, it's 25.
Yeah, no, that'll be a big milestone.
You know, then after that, like 30, like we'll still do stuff. But after 25, when's your next big one? 50? Comparing to what, like marriage, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, 25 years. You know, 30 is still kind of all right, but 25 is big. So for 20, I think I'm going to buy a whole bunch of, like, hot dogs and hamburgers to have a big barbecue for my members. Yeah, thanks, guys. You know, have, like, a social event, you know.
Yeah, that's cool.
We used to do things on the roof.
Oh, yeah.
We used to open up the roof and have everyone on the roof. I might do it, but the mall doesn't like it, so it has to be, like, secret.
Mm, okay.
Or do it in a park. Either way, we're going to do something, but it's not going to be the event I wanted to do.
Fair enough.
Part bit of laziness, part bit of, hey, 25 is bigger.
That's true. people understand. And I think your members will appreciate the exclusiveness of
doing something. Oh, we have a special sale coming up at some point.
That's good.
Only for people that get emails from my POS. It's kind of a, hey, didn't get my email, then no sale for you sale.
Okay.
Email invite
I'm gonna,
only.
I'm gonna check. I don't know why, but all your emails to me always get to my spam for some reason.
Oh, yeah, yeah, check. But as long as you get them, though.
Okay.
Because then it'll be qualified.
No,
it's
going to
be a special email sale only event that no one else can talk about.
So now, just to finish up, it's con season.
Yep.
How do you enjoy that time? Or I hear a lot of guys say that it's so much work and it's a labor
it's a ton of
love.
Work. I have my anime con coming up in 3 weeks. I don't know what weekend this is. 3 weeks, 4 weeks?
What do you know what weekend it is?
22nd, 24th. What is that? 3 weeks.
Okay.
I already started packing for it last week.
And where is it at?
Congress Center. On Airport Road.
Okay.
It's pretty big. I do 6 tables. I enjoy it more than at Fan Expo. Just because my booth is nicer. It's different. I have 6 tables in a row versus at Fan Expo. I have 4 tables and then it backs onto 4 tables. So I have an island of 4x4.
You got a good setup though.
It looks nice, professional.
Got a nice banner.
But it's like having 2 different booths. When you're on one side, you can't see the other.
Okay.
Anime North, I'm right next to the door. So for me to go outside, I have to walk like 10 feet. It's free parking.
Yeah.
It's right off the highway. It's not downtown. So
you think they could have the Fan Expo there?
It's not big enough.
No.
Congress Center is too small.
That's the one thing I always hear, that a lot of these places, they, like the fan, I don't know what it's like for you guys at Fan Expo, but like sometimes it's just not retailer friendly to get in and out of the place.
Congress Center is difficult, man. I don't know why they just, Fan Expo, why they built the convention center so far down. Like it's those 5 sets of steps. It's not even that big. Like they've kind of, you know, there's convention centers in the States that are like mammoth compared to, you know, this. It's an outdated convention hall. You could go to Direct Energy Building and go to the X, but the X sucks as a location to have a convention.
Yeah,
I did 3 Paradise Cons there, and they were terrible.
Yeah.
Only cons I ever lost money at.
Oof.
Like, so bad the first year, the power didn't work, but I went outside to have a cigarette and left my booth unattended. And I was be like a good 100 feet away plus. I can't even judge 100 feet, but I was far away.
Yeah.
And no one walked by my booth. I was actually hoping someone would steal so I could chase them and warm up. It was terrible. Oh, it was so bad, those cons. That was like almost like 12 years ago. Those were terrible, the X. Anyways, Congress Center is very fun. Anime North. I have a really awesome booth also. But it's easier than Fan Expo because it's all kind of one
genre.
Yeah. I bring Naruto toys. Odds are, majority of people there like Naruto. Whereas Fan Expo is comics, sci-fi, anime, horror, video games, card games. But then comics is Marvel, DC. Old, new. Graphic novel, not graphic novel. So, like, what do you really bring? We are both comic fans, but you could be looking for Batman comics from the 70s. I could be looking for Marvel comics, X-Men from the 60s.
It's true.
So it's way more difficult. Whereas the Japanese stuff, a lot of it's really obscure. So I bring a bunch of cool import toys. Odds are people going to want them.
Yeah.
The dilemma with Fan Expo, though, is because I can fill 6 tables with anime stuff, and I have 8 tables at Fan Expo, what do you bring? Like, I could fill 6 tables easily already with just anime. So I try to do, like, I bring variants, I bring bundles, I bring graphic novels, I bring toys, I bring cards, I bring plushies, and I bring anime stuff and lead figures. 8 tables.
I think that's fair.
I pack it in.
I go to those, too, looking for those deals. At this point in time, everybody's selling it for US cover price, graphic novel. Like, how do you start to compete with the next table over? You've got to do something that...
I've learned my thing, though. I don't go too cheap on certain things. Like, if you were to come in my store today and buy, like, say tomorrow, Batman Earth 2, Volume 2, and say next week there's a convention, but you pay $20, I'm not going to go sell it at a con for $15 because it's not... I could do it, but then you guys would come by my booth, let's say, and be like, oh, what the hell? I just paid, you know, $5 more. So I don't... It's a moral thing, but I don't sell stuff at cons cheaper than to people I normally know. Like, well, how would you sell stuff cheaper to people who aren't your regulars?
No, it's true.
That's why when I have sales, regulars always get a better deal than non-regulars, because why would you reward people that aren't your dedicated, loyal customers?
Yeah. And that's the one thing I noticed, too, when I would buy some wall books. I'd go to another place, see the same wall book, and they'd have it jacked up or a variant cover that just came out on the stands that you're putting at cover price, and they're just trying to make it that collectible thing. And I've always said, like, you know what, after going to different shops, you kind of see who the guys are that are trying to do these little tricks to make you think that it's worth. Like, I remember one time I saw Civil War number 4. It was a variant cover from Michael Turner, and they had it at the front of their thing for $80. And the next store across the street had it for $35. And I'm like, how do these guys decide what this is?
You just throw up a number.
Yeah.
It would be nice. It used to be the golden, kind of unwritten rule for variants was whatever the odds of that variant, that's what you make it. So it was a 1 in 10, around $10. 1 in 25, $25. 1 in 50, $50. 1 in 100, $100.
Okay.
Technically speaking, to get that 1 in 100 means I have to buy 100 copies of a book. It's a $4 book. I'm spending $200 to qualify. The book didn't cost me $200, but I had to spend $200 to get it.
Right.
So $100 is not too bad. Whereas, you know, you as a consumer, if you were to get an account with Marvel and buy a comic, you'd have to buy 100 copies. So you'd have to spend $200 to get that one book.
Yeah.
But that's always the case. 1 in 100 books, though, on eBay, depending what you how you market it, will probably get you a reasonable, like, $80 to $100.
Yeah.
But, like, that 1 in 10, ones in 10s I sell for, like...
The ones that you have, they're never, like, oh, my goodness, I can't believe how much... And you, and yeah. It's always affordable.
Yeah, you know, it's, you know...
It's fair.
You gotta be kind of fair. I don't know.
No, I think that's a good business plan. Because people are gonna buy it if they see it, true. Right?
Some people make more money than I do.
Well, you've been around for 20 years. I think
long-term, though. There's the short-term make-quick-money...
Yeah.
Which a lot of stores have, like, hey, I'll buy this, flip it, do this, you know, get this stuff signed, get it CGC'd, put it out really quick. And then there's, building the family. If I, you know, say I sold a book and it's really hot now, and I know I can get, like, $20 online for it. For example, this past week, Batman number 40.
Yeah.
The variant for Batman number 40 is going for, like, $50 online.
Was that the mask one or the other one?
No, this one was, like, the three of them all with Joker smiles.
Okay.
Selling it for $10. I knew it was going for $50. I could have pulled them out of people's folders. I had 5 of them. But I sold them for $10. Yeah, whatever.
No, that's fair, though, I think. Because, again, it's one of those things that's inflated, right? Everyone, all of a sudden, it's the rage. And then later on, everybody went for that one. It's worth nothing.
Yeah, exactly. Well, years later, variants are never worth jack.
Yeah, that I ended up buying that Civil War number 4 for $35 because I thought, oh, wow, what a steal. I don't even think it's... I think it's maintained that value.
Yeah.
It's like at 40. So I'm par, but that's it. So any sales coming up that we should let the listeners know about?
We'll be having a June sale at our warehouse. I lie, right? Probably going to have a May sale here at the main store on toys when I'm at Anime North. Because all my Japanese stuff is going to disappear, and then we spread all our American stuff. So we're probably going to run a sale here the 22nd and 24th. It'll be on our website. And then in June, we've just renovated the back of our warehouse. It's not ready to be open yet, but end of June, we'll probably run a sale also. Mm. If you want to go really far into the future, our 20-year anniversary sale will be the first or second week of July, and that will be a big bash because it's 20 years. We'll have some good discounts. Probably our best discounts ever on all products.
And that's for the members only?
No, that'll be a secret sale I'm going to run.
Secret sale, okay.
Sounds that'll be good. An email. But yeah, our big July sale is going to be our... 20 years, so I think everything I normally do will be like 5-10% better than normal.
Nice. That'll be good. It'll be busy.
Hopefully, yeah. Hopefully.
Well, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, man.
It was a pleasure. Here's to 20 more years. I'm sure you'll still be around if you still have the love for it. But I'm pretty sure you still will be. All right, man. There you have it. That was our interview with the head honcho at Cyber City Comics, Daryl Spears. Thanks again for giving us your time. We know that your week is extremely busy and all the hard work everybody at Cyber City puts into getting those comics out on Wednesday on the shelves and in order. So special shout out to Jazz and Jesse and Max and Mike and all the guys who work there. Thanks for all your hard work. And again, Cyber City, like I've said before, it's one of those places where everybody knows your name. It feels kind of like Cheers. You go there, you feel like it's a home away from home, a good little place to get to in the middle of the week to... meet up with old friends, have a little chit-chat, talk about comic stuff, whatever's going on. So if you're in the Toronto area, check out Cyber City Comics, pay them a visit, be worth your while. And another 20 years of success to Daryl and all the crew at Cyber City Comics. And thank you for listening again. This is Cave of Solitude. Check us out at caveofsolitude.com, our Instagram, our email address, caveofsolitude@outlook.com. Once again, thanks for listening. We will be back soon.